Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach, we begin Hilchos Machalos Asuros, the second of the three halachas that are in the Sefer Kedushin, the Book of Sanctity, in the Rambam Ziyad Chazaka, which are the laws of forbidden foods, which the Rambam says, Yesh Bechlal and Shmein Ve'esu Mitzvahs. In these categories of halachas, there are 28 commandments, Abba Mitzvahs Asay, 4 positive commandments, Ve'arba Ve'esu Mitzvahs Lesa, and 24 negative prohibitions, Ve'zeh Paratin, and the Rambam says, and these are those specifics. Which Aleph, the first mitzvah is Livdik b'simoni behemim v'chaya, to inspect the signs of the animal and the wild animal, lahavdil bein tamei l'tareh, that distinguishes between it being a kosher or non-kosher animal. Second positive commandment is Livdik b'simoni oif, to inspect the signs of a bird, lahavdil bein tamei l'tareh, that differentiates between it being a kosher or non-kosher animal. Gimel is Livdik b'simoni chagovim, lahavdil bein tamei l'tareh, to check the signs of the locust, to see if it's differentiating, if it's kosher or not kosher. Livdik b'simoni dogim lahavdil bein tamei l'tareh, and to check the signs of a fish to differentiate between what's kosher and what's not kosher. Those are the four positive commandments. Then you have the negative prohibitions. Hey, the fifth mitzvah, shleilechol behem b'chayi tmeya, not to eat any non-kosher domesticated or wild animal. Vav, shleilechol leiv tamei, not to eat any non-kosher bird. Zayin, shleilechol dogim tmeya, not to eat any non-kosher fish. Ches, shleilechol sheret tzaif, not to eat the teeming birds that fly, that are these types of flies. Test is shleilechol sheret tzaif, not to eat the things that are teeming, that are, these are types of insects that crawl on the ground. Shleilechol remes are the creeping creatures, which are more like worms and those types of things that are from the ground. Yudalf shleilechol telas haperish keshetetz la'aver, not to eat specifically a worm that comes out of a fruit, that when once it comes out to the ear space, then it becomes forbidden to be eaten. Yudbeish shleilechol sheret tzamayim, not to eat the teeming creatures from the water, which are the aquatic types of flies. Yudgimel shleilechol nevela, not to eat an animal that died without being properly slaughtered. Yudal shleilechol b'shar niskal, not to have any pleasure, any benefit from, and very much so regarding the eating of an ox that is stoned, which if it gored and it has to be stoned. Tezvav shleilechol treif, not to eat an animal that has a mortal defect, or that was mauled. Tezayin shleilechol eiver min hachayim, not to eat a limb from a living creature. Yudzayin shleilechol dam, not to eat blood. Yudches shleilechol chelev behem tayir, not to eat the certain fats in the animal that are called chelev from a kosher animal, is forbidden to eat those fats. Yutesh shleilechol gid hanasha, not to eat the gid hanasha, which is the sciatic nerve that was displaced by Yaakovinu. You're not to eat that same gid by an animal. Chaf shleilechol basa b'chalav, not to eat a mixture of meat and milk. Chafav shleilechol vashle, not to cook meat and milk. Chavbe shleilechol lechem tvuch hadasha, not to eat bread from the new grain before that it becomes permitted when one has the karbonis of the omer, that are and the shteil lechem. There are certain times when it permits one's not allowed to eat the new grain before that. That is specifically of bread. Chavgimel shleilechol kolim lechadish, not supposed to eat roasted grain from the new grain. And chavdal shleilechol karmel lechadish, not to eat the fresh grain from the new grain. Again, before it becomes permitted to eat the new grain. Chafei shleilechol arlo, not to eat the fruits of a tree in its first 3 years. Shleilechol klahakerem, not to eat the fruits that grew up in a forbidden mixture in a vineyard. Chavzayin shleilechol telv, not to eat untithed produce. And chavches shleilishtos yayin nesach, not to drink wine that was poured as libation for avodah zara. Uber mitzvos elu program elu, and the explanation of these mitzvahs are in these chapters, which there are 17 chapters. The first four discussed regarding the kashrus of animals, of living creatures. Perek Hey through Tes discusses things that are forbidden from a living creature. Perek Yud discusses the prohibitions of things that sprout. Perek Yud Alf to Yigimel discusses the wine of a non-Jew. Perek Yudal discusses, in general, prohibited things to be eaten. Tezvav to Tezayin talks about tarevas, prohibited mixtures. And Perek Yud Zayin discusses regarding the vessels of non-Jews and regarding their things that they cook. With that, we begin Perek Rishon, the first Perek, which discusses the science of kashrus, of what is kosher, by a living creature. As Rama opens up Halacha Aleph regarding, in general, the mitzvah of differentiating what's kosher and what's not with the appropriate simon, with the signs. As Rama says, mitzvah sasei, it's a positive commandment, leida, or like the Magen Mishnah says, livdik, to check, but it's to know, to check, hasimonim shavavdil mehem, with the signs that one could differentiate, bein behemah b'chayi v'oiv v'dog mechagavim shemotu l'achlam, between a domesticated wild animal, birds, fish, locusts that you're permitted to eat, uvein shei mutlach, regarding those creatures from the same species you're not allowed to eat. Shneim like the pasuk in Vayikra. It says v'evdaltim bein abehima tahir latameya. You should differentiate between the kosher and the not kosher animal. Uvein oifatem latarim, between the kosher and the non kosher bird. But then, like it says, the pasuk over there earlier in Perek Alf, lahavlu ben atam ben atar, to differentiate between the non-kosher and the kosher, ben achayah and achelas, ben achayah shalaysa achel, and between the wild animal that is eaten and between the wild animal that is not eaten. Now, Halacha Beis, the Rambam continues regarding the simoni specific kashrus of that of a behemah and achayah. As Rambam says, simoni behemah v'chayah nisporsh batar. The signs of kashrus of a behemah and a chayah, a wild animal, were specified in the Torah. Those are two distinct signs, which are mafresis parsa, split hooves, which are the feet of the animal, have to be split all the way, umalas geira, and that they chew their cud, which they bring up the cud, they chew it, it comes back down. Actually, until you have these two signs, those are the criterion for being a kosher animal. Now, the Rambam further tells us that any animal, wild animal, that is malas gera, that chews its cud, ain lo shinayim b'lachayelion, it does not have teeth in its upper jawbone. Now, moreover, v'chol behemah shi malas gera, any animal, again, like we said, that chews its cud, harehi mafreses parsa. We automatically know that it has split hooves, and you wouldn't have to check. Chutz mina gamal, the one exception is the camel. Now, why doesn't the Rambam mention also the Shofen and the Arnevis, which the Torah explicitly mentions that they are maligera and they are not mafrisi parsa, that they chew the cud and they don't have split hooves, like the Rabbit points out? That's because the Rambam's talking about, quote-unquote, a min tahar. On them is what the Rambam says, that they don't have upper teeth. The Shofen and the Arnevis are, quote-unquote, temeim, because although they're maligera, they chew the cud, but they have teeth on their upper jawbone. In contrast, the young camel is similar to a kosher animal in the sense that it does not have upper teeth on up its jaw, so therefore it's qualifying that as one that, although it's malas geirum, it's not going to be my first pass, it does not have split hooves. But all other ones do, as it's going to be important in the moment to when we don't know exactly what an animal is. And b'chol behemah shi mefreses parsa, and again, any animal that has split hooves, he malas geira. We know automatically that it chooses cut. Chutz min chazir, except for the chazir. So again, generally, it's going to have both. If it has one, it has the other. Except, Chazir is going to have only the one of split hooves not chewing its cud. And the case the Rambam picks, besides the other two, is that if it chews its cud, it's going to have split hooves, except for the camel, and like we said, the Shofen and the Arnevis. Now, Lefikach, therefore, since we know these three distinct signs, that it chews its cud, it has split hooves, and it doesn't have teeth on its upper jawbone, so hamitzi behemah says Rambam halacha gimel lefika hamitzi behemah b'midbar ve'ena makir. Let's say someone finds an animal in the desert, doesn't recognize which animal this is. Umitzah hatuchas apas. Now generally, so what? So you'll check the hooves and check if it chooses its cut. No, umitzah hatuchas apas. He finds it that its foot is cut off, its hoof is cut off, and therefore it's not possible to check if it has split hooves. So b'edik b'fia. What you do is you check by its mouth and you see. Im in lishanaim lamal, if it does not have teeth on the top by its upper jawbone, be a dush, yitaira. Then you know that it's a kosher animal, because if it doesn't have teeth in its upper jawbone, then we said we already know for sure that it chews its cud, as we said in Lacha Beis. If it chews its cud, we said we already know that it has split hooves, as we said, so therefore it has the two signs. Now, but there's one caveat, shiyako gamal, that person has to recognize at least what is a camel, because a young camel does not have teeth on its upper jawbone. So the fact that it doesn't have teeth wouldn't clearly define it. It's only if he knows that it's not a camel, then he knows for sure it's a kosher animal. Another case, let's say matz behemah shepiyah chatuch. Let's say he finds an animal that its mouth is cut off. You can't recognize, in other words, if it has teeth on its upper jawbone or not, because its whole mouth is messed up. So b'tik b'farsa said, then you check its hooves. Im yishesua, if it's completely split, then tahira, then it's going to be kosher, because if it has split hooves, we said it also chooses cut, like we said in the previous halacha. But for who? Here also you have to know the other way, shiyaka chazir. You have to know the swine, because the chazir has split hooves, even though it doesn't chew its cut. So it wouldn't be a kosher animal. But as long as you know it's not a chazir, then you know it's a kosher animal. Now let's say matzah fiyah chatuch v'ragleah chatuchas. Let's say you find its mouth is cut off, and its legs are cut off. So therefore you can't check not in its mouth, not in its feet. And it's not easy to tell if an animal chews its cut or not. So what are you going to do? So, b'idik ba, you could check some other way. After you slaughter it, check by the end of the tail. If you see that the flesh over there goes crisscross, goes in the length and the width, then tahira, then it's going to be a kosher animal. But vahu here also, as long as shiyako arid, as long as you recognize that it's not a wild donkey, shekinhu besaris shasiv erev, because here its flesh also goes crisscross. Generally, it's going to go one way and not the other way. By kosher animal goes in either direction, the flesh, by that area behind the tail. So therefore, if it has shasiv erev and you know it's not the wild donkey, then it's going to be a kosher animal too. Halacha dal, behemet ta'ira sheyoldikim in behemet tmeh. What happens if a kosher animal gives birth to something that looks like a not kosher, unkosher animal? Now, ava bisha inim afres parasabulim al zger. So although this creature does not split hooves, does not chew its cud, elkim in susacha mer l'chaldover, it's like a horse or donkey for all practical purposes, it's still going to be kosher to eat because it's coming from a kosher animal. Now, but remember, when did we say this? Bishyal d'lefonim, when it gives birth in front of us. So we know that it came from the kosher animal. But let's say you left a pregnant cow in your flock. And you come later on, you see that there's like a swine that's bound up with this, the calf, the cow that had given birth. And even though this sort of a chazir is nursing from this cow, so it looks like it's from the cow and it should be kosher. Now, how is this suffix? It's still a situation of doubt. First of all, it's going to be forbidden to eat this a swine-looking creature. Maybe it was really born from another swine, from a non-kosher animal, and it just somehow got connected to this kosher cow, but really it wasn't from this cow, and therefore, out of doubt, it's going to be forbidden to be eaten. What's if a non-kosher animal gives birth to something that's like a kosher animal? So, here, although this creature chooses cud and has split hooves, very kiminsher, lechodavik, kiminsen, and it's like a full packet purpose. It looks like an ox, it looks like a sheep. It's going to be forbidden to be eaten. And the reason for this is shagodl metame, which is grown, which is produced from a non kosher animal, is tame, is not kosher. Menatoi comes from a kosher animal, is tart, going to be kosher. Lefikr, therefore, since it depends on what produces it, not which body it's found in, so dog tame shenim to be made dog tar. So if you found a non kosher fish in the belly of a kosher fish, us, it's going to be forbidden. If it's dog tar, hanim to be made dog tame. If you find a kosher fish in the belly of a non-kosher fish, mut is going to be permitted. The fish in gedula, because it's not what produced it. El belay, it's obviously swallowed it up, and therefore it's going to be depending on what produced it and not on which animal you find it. Halach above. Be'imet tarish yalda. A kosher animal that gives birth, or you find inside of it, birya, creature shishla shtegab, and it has two backs, shtei shataris, and two spines. Asur b'chila, this creature is going to be forbidden to be eaten. Why? Because v'zuhi ha-shesu shenester b'tayr this exeis akasim. It's the shesu that's mentioned in the Torah. Shemak says b'zin devar. As zeloi toichlu mimala gerim afrisa pasas. Says the Torah, this should not be eaten from those that chew its cud and have split hooves, which is ha-shesu. Kolema, it's a beria. It's a creature shenold the shesu shtei beimus that's born divided into two different animals. And it's like divided because it has like two backs and two spines, and therefore that's exeis akasim that although it's coming from a kosher animal, it's going to be forbidden. Halacha zayin. V'chein behemish nimtza b'dmus oif. So too, what's problematic, if you have an animal that you find inside of it, something like has the form of a bird. Alpha b'shul oif tarin, even though it's a kosher bird. Here's asa b'chila, it's forbidden to be eaten, even though it's a kosher animal. Because lehutim and nimtza b'behema elam asha yesh leparsa. It's not permitted what you find inside a kosher animal, only that which at least has hooves. But if it doesn't have hooves, it's like a bird, so then it's not going to be kosher. Halacha ches, the Rambam continues in differentiating further between that of a behemah and a chaya. As Ram says, in you don't have in any domesticated or wild animal in the world, except for the 10 species that I mentioned in the Torah. So the Torah tells you which type of behemah v'chayas are permitted to be eaten. There are three types of domesticated animals. Behemah, they are shar, an ox, seh, sheep, ve'ezin, goat, and seven types of wild animals. You have ayol, the gazelle, utzvi, the deer, the yachmur, the antelope, the akoi, the ibex, the dishan, and the shami, and the bison, the zomer, and the giraffe, which these definitions are debatable exactly what these creatures are. These are as some translate them. And heimim name, it's not only them, but it's also their species, their subcategories. For example, shahabar, the wild ox, the hamri, and the buffalo, shahim minasher, which is from the species of that of an ox. And the chalasar minimum, and all these 10 species, and their species, their subcategories, are all malagir, mafres, paras, they're all true, they're cut, and they have split hooves. Lafikach, therefore, mishumaki, whoever recognized them. And it's tzarech, you don't have to check that cow, lebepeb, lebeglaim, not in the mouth, not in the feet, because you know this is from those kosher species. Now, halacha test. Av bishakul matar machila, although all of them are permitted to be eaten, tzrich and anu lahavdul bin behemah tar v'chaya tar. We have to differentiate between what's a kosher behemah and what's a kosher chaya. Why? Aren't they all kosher? Three of those types and seven of those? No. Shachaya difference is because a wild animal chel b'mutar. The chela, which are certain types of fats, are permitted in the wild animal to be eaten. The damatar and kisur. And its blood, like that of a bird, needs to be covered when you slaughter it. Whereas v'behemah hatari, the kosher domestic animal, chel b'bukaris, if you eat its chela, there's a punishment of karis, of dying young, then damatar and kisur, and then the blood actually does not need to be covered. So you still have to know which one's behemah and which one is a chaya. Now halacha yud. V'simani chayim and piyash muhim. The signs of what's a kosher wild animal are from tradition that common to mafres parsa, whatever has split hooves, umaligir chooses cud, the yeshli karnayim, and it has horns that are mefutzalis, that branch off, kagoin, ha'ai, like a gazelle. Harizachai, tarbavadi, is most definitely a kosher wild animal. Now, v'choshe in karn of mefutzalis, and if the horns don't branch off, so, imhoyu karn of kuruchis, so if the horns were curved, kikarni ashar, like the horns of an ox, v'charukis, and notched, kikarni ez, like the horns of a goat. Via cherek movement, and moreover, it has to be that the notches are embedded in the horns. And third of all, the haduris, and they're spiraled. Kikarna, it's to be like the horns of a deer. Harizachaitar, that will also be a sign that it's a kosher wild animal. As we said, as long as those three criteria in the horns, simanuela, these signs are kruches, curved, charukes, notched, haduris, and spiral. Now, halacha yud aleph, but when we say this, the minsha in the makira, to only species that you don't recognize. So you can define it with these simanim. But regarding the seven wild animals that mentioned explicitly in the Torah that we mentioned before in Halacha Ches, so if he recognizes that that's that animal, even if he doesn't find it having horns, he would have to cover its blood because again he knows that this is a chaya, not a behemoth. Like we said, we know what's considered the seven types of kosher chayas. But the question is this a chai, is this a behemoth? And that you have to know, like we said, regarding the chelev and the dam. So that we said that what's considered a wild animal and not a behemoth are regarding those signs of, it has the two kosher signs, and additionally it has that of the horns to be considered as a chaya that's tahir. Halachin beis, shahabar, the wild ox, says the Rambam, min behemoth. That's a type of, although it's wild, but it's a type of a behemoth, like in the category of shar. Now, v'hakeresh, in contrast, the unicorn, although it only has one horn, and generally the kosher chayas we said have two horns, but still this is considered a wild animal. And what happens if you're in doubt? You don't know, is it a kosher wild animal or a kosher behemoth, domesticated animal? So then, out of doubt, chel bayasr, the fats are going to be forbidden because maybe it's a type of a behemoth. But you don't get lashes because maybe it's a type of chayas, and you don't get lashes out of doubt. And you also cover the blood out of doubt, then maybe it's a chaya. Halacha yud gimel. Kalayim habom behemet tahir mechaya tahir. What happens if you have a mixture, a mixed breed, from a kosher behemah together that with a kosher chaya? So actually, hua nikur koi, that's what's called koi. And chel bay aser, its fats are aser like that of a behemah. Vein lokala, but you don't get lashed on it. Machas has dama, and recover its blood, like we said, because of the combination of the behemah and the chaya. And the ein min tamim is abim min tar klal. So, but regarding mixtures, so you can have with a behemah and the chaya that's kosher, but you can't have that a non-kosher animal could become impregnated from a kosher animal and in reverse. So you're never going to have that question regarding kosher and not kosher mixed breed. Now, halacha yud dal, now we continue regarding the signs of kashrus by a bird. Simani oif tahar lein esparsh min atar. So actually, the signs of what's considered a kosher bird were not specified in the Torah. The only thing the Torah does, it tells you which are considered the non-kosher species of birds. And all the other types of birds in the world are permitted. Now, the types that are forbidden are above, estimate are 24. And they are, again, here also the interpretations are debatable, at least for some of them. Aleph is Nesher, is the eagle. Paris is the asifrej. Gimela is Nia, is the osprey. Da is kite, vihi and says the Ram ha-ra ha-mur b'mishnah Torah, although there's a different word mentioned in Sefer Devarim, the ra is actually the same one as this da. Hey, ay is the vulture, vihi ha-daya mur b'mishnah Torah, that's also the daya that's mentioned, although it's a different word, it's the same species that's mentioned in Sefer Devarim, just a different name for it. Vav is min ha'aya, a type of vulture, because shekein kasab alimina, it says, when they mention the vulture, it says, and it's for its species, machlosh rishnei min. Obviously, there's another type of subspecies in that of the vulture. Zayin is oiv, is the raven, ches is zarzer, is the starling, shekein nema ba'oiv, lemina, because by the raven it says for its species, lahavi is zarzer, which comes to include something which is similar to that, which is the starling. Tes yan is the ostrich, yud tachmas is the owl, yud alv shachaf is the gull, yud beis is nates, is the hawk, yud gimel is vishuranka, is the goshawk, vuhuminanates, it's a type of a hawk, shekein kasab alimina, again, because by the hawk it says for its species, including another type. Kais is the falcon, Tezvav is Shalach, is the cormorant, Tezain is Yanshuf, is the ibis, Yudzain Tichemis is the swan, Yudches Kos is the pelican, Yudches Rechama is the magpie, Chav Chasida is the stork, Chav Alf Hanafa is the heron, Chav Beis is Minanafa, a type of a heron, Shekin Nemba Lamina, because it says for its species, Hagimel Haduchifas is the hoopy, or it's the wild turkey, Chav Dal is Atalif, is the bat. These are the 24 types of birds that are mentioned in the Torah that are not kosher, and all the other rest in the world are kosher. Now, says Ram Halacha Tzvav, Kol Mishu Baki B'min Me'el B'Shmei, whoever is proficient in these species and in their names, and to be able to know the species, what exactly, and how to define them, so you can eat any bird that's not from these 24. You don't have to check it, because you know it's not from one of these 24. Now, V'Oif Tar Nechal B'Mesiris. Now, however, a kosher bird is eaten with tradition, meaning to say, well, it was handed down from father to son, from Rebbe to Talmud, to know that this is a kosher bird. Vahu, and that is, she'id of a pashid, v'yisamakim, she'zel eftar. But it has to be that it's known, in very well known, that this is that kosher bird. And more of a nemet tzayid lemer, a hunter is believed to say, oivzeh hitali Rebbe hatzayid, this bird, my teacher, permitted me, who he was a hunter, that he told me that this is a kosher species. But that is sheyuchzik oisit tzayit. But as long as we know, we have a presumption that hunter who taught him shubaki b'min meilu b'shmeisayim, that he was proficient in these species and their names, then you could go and rely on what he had said. Halachat hazayin. Now, misha einu makirom ve'einu yodei shmeisayim. Now, anyone that does not recognize them, or even if we know them, but we don't recognize what the names are of who, which animal, which bird is what. So then, what you do is you check in these signs that the sages, the Torah doesn't say, but the sages gave us the signs, and that is, any bird that pounces and eats, meaning it puts its hand on the prey that it's eating, and only then does it eat from it. Then you know it's from one of these 24 types of species, and that's a not kosher bird. Now, but if it does not pounce and eat, it doesn't hold on to the thing and then eat, if has one of these three signs that we're going to mention, Hariza Aivtar, it's considered a kosher bird. Balaam, what are these three? Etzba Yisera has an extra finger, meaning an extra claw. This that we call it the extra, it's a finger that's higher, it's further back than the rest of the fingers. So although most birds have it, it's called Yisera because it's not in the same order as the other claws. Or others say the reason why it's called Yisera, it means bigger. It's bigger than the other claws, so that's one sign. Oy zefik, or if it has the crop, which is a type of a pouch inside the animal, which before it gets to the kurkuvan, it's where the food gathers over there. It's like similar to what a stomach is by a human being. And v'hi amura, this is what's known in the Torah and by Yikra, v'heishes murasai, by the bird kurkuvan, they have to take out, that's the crop. Oy shoy kurkuvanai, or the third sign is, if it's craw, which is another one of the intestines of the bird, is niklev biyad, if the pouch that's inside can be peeled by hand. If that's any one of those three signs, then you know it's a kosher bird. Now, halach yidzayin, says the Rambam, lafi she'in b'chaleila min masur min she'in adaris. Now, since you don't have any one of those 24 species you mentioned in the non-kosher species, that is a min she'in adaris, that it's a type that, A, it doesn't pounce, and it has one of these three signs, that's why we're saying that if it's not a doiris, and has one of these three signs, it's going to be considered kosher, because none of those 24 minim are not doiris, and has one of these three signs. Now, chutz, mi peres vaznia, actually two of the 24, the peres vaznia, they actually are not doiris, and they have one of these three signs, but uperes vaznia, enim etzum b'yishuv, those two types of birds are not found in settled areas. They're actually in the deserts of the faraway islands overseas. Shein Sefer Yisha, which is the end of the settled area of the world. And since they're not so common, we don't have to suspect that it's those two birds, those two species, and therefore, again, if it's not a doiris, and there's one of these three signs, you could presume that it's a kosher bird. Now, Allah Yitzchas, let's say Hayak Kurkavan Niklav Besakin Be'in Niklav Be'ya. What happens if the Kurkavan, the craw, could be peeled with a knife, but not by hand? If the Imis Menacher, and it doesn't have any one of the other signs, because if it did have, then it would automatically be a kosher bird, like we said, it has to have only one of the three. So Ava Bishein Adaris, although it's not Daris, again, because if it was Daris, automatically would be a non-kosher bird. But, so, even though it's not Daris, and you could peel it, but only with a knife, how is this? Like, that's already doubt. We don't know if that would be considered that it's kosher or not. Now, let's say how you chazik b'davik. Let's say it was firm and tightly attached. V'hinich b'shemesh, but it was put into the sun. V'nisrapa, and then it got soft, and now you could peel it by hand, here's a mutter, then it's going to be already permitted, and it's going to be a sign that it's a kosher bird. Now, halachia test. Amar gagayin ha-gayin. The gagayin said, shemesoyasi b'yidayim, that it's tradition that they have in their hands. She'in marin lahatir oif ha-baba semenecha. We don't rule to permit a bird that comes with one kosher sign. Elem ha-ya oisi simen she'kalv kukurban b'yad. The one of the three that we will rely on is if the craw could be peeled, that pouch that's inside could be peeled by hand. But if you cannot peel the craw by hand, even though it has one of the other two signs, has the crop or has the extra finger, the extra claw from behind, they wouldn't rely and permit it based on that sign. Now, any bird that splits its claws, its feet, when you spread out a string for it, shtaim lekan, two claws going one way and two claws going the other way. Or it catches objects in the ear and it's going to eat it in the ear space. That's obviously a bird of prey, and it's considered one of the non-kosher animals. And any bird that dwells with the non-kosher birds and it seems similar to them, we also consider that as the non-kosher species. Now, Loch HaChavav Ram moves on to the locust. And the types of locusts that the Torah permitted are eight, and they are Chagav, the white locust, and Bez is Min Chagav, the type of white locust, and that is Harazbanis. Gimel Yavchargal, which is the spotted gray locust, Umin Chargal, Dalad is Umin Chargal, another type similar to the spotted gray one, Buhu Artsuvya. Hey is Arba, is the red locust, and Vav Umin Arba, and that which is similar to that one, Buhu Tziparis Kram, that's what's known as the bird of the vineyard. Zayin Salam is the yellow locust, Ches Umin Salam, and a species that's similar to that of the yellow locust. V'hi Yechana Yerushalmi. So those are the eight types of kosher locusts. Now, Halach HaVeis is Rambam. Mishu Baka Ben Mishmai Sema. Whoever's proficient in them and the locusts and what their names are, then Oichli could eat it. V'atzayim Alem. And also here the hunter is trusted regarding them. Kaif, like we said, regarding the bird, that we rely on the hunter in Halach HaTazvav. Now, but a mission in the book, if someone's not proficient knowing what type of locust is what and what the names are, so by the basimanim, then he checks for the signs. Ushlesh basimanim, yes, there are three types of signs for kosher locust. Kol shish by arab baraglaim, if it has 4 feet, the arab kunafayim shachibis rev oirich gufa verev hekib gufa, and it has 4 wings that cover the majority of the length of the body and the majority of the circumference of the width of its body. And v'yesh lishni kura'ayim lenatamim, it has 2 longer legs that it hops and jumps with. A reason Mintar, if it has those 3 signs, that's considered a kosher species. Now, for Afal Pe'ana, even so, where all the 8 species that we said that are considered the kosher locust, they don't have elongated heads and they don't have a tail, but here, even so, as long as it has these 3 signs that we mentioned, even though that it's Shereshi Aruch, Vishle Zan, that has an elongated head and has a tail, if his name was Chagav, then again it's going to be kosher because of the fact that it's called Chagav, which is one of the 8 types. That are kosher. Now, halach of gimel. Misha in la akshav kanavayim. Now, if you have a locust that does not have right now wings, oikraim, or the longer legs to jump with, oisha in la kanavayim, hachiv mezrubay, or even that has wings, but doesn't have wings that covers the majority of its body, but va'asla gadol oisin achas mankash yagdil, it's going to end up growing them after when it matures, it's going to have those simanim, it just doesn't have it yet. There's a mutamata, so right away now it's already permitted because it doesn't have to actually have it, it's just a simon, and since it's ultimately going to have it, it's from those 3 signs which say that it's kosher, and like we said, and even if it's elongated head and it has a tail, which is not from one of those 8, but if it's kol chagav, then it's going to be kosher. Now, Allah of Dal, the Rambam finishes off with that of the signs of a kosher fish. It says, Rambam, regarding fish, there's 2 signs for it to be considered kosher. Snapper, fins, Because kesis and scales. Now, usnapa, what are usnapa? Hu shepereach, boy, this is what it swims with the fins. Because kesis, what are scales? He had dvuka b'chol guvit, it's what attached to its whole body. Now, b'chol sheyeshli kaskeses, if the fish has scales, you know yeshli snapa, that it has fins. Now, inli achshav, ukshiagli yiloi, now, even though it doesn't have it right now, but ultimately when it becomes bigger, it's going to have it. Or sheyeshli kaskeses kishu b'yam, or even if it just has scales when it's in the sea. But when you take it out of the sea, it shakes off all its scales and it doesn't have it when it comes onto land. Is going to be permitted because ultimately it is the type that has the scales. Now, even if it doesn't have scales that covers the whole body, mut is going to be permitted. And even if it has only one fin and one scale, is going to be permitted as long as it has one fin, one scale. And again, even if it just has scales, you know it automatically has fins. So if it just has a scale, one scale, that's really going to be considered as a kosher fish.